Well, let's have a look then at these verses and some of the themes that being described here in the chapter. The chapter, the book of Proverbs, which is giving us wisdom for life, and a feature of this chapter, not only this chapter certainly, but this chapter, a prominent theme in this chapter is relationships. If you read through the chapter and consider how many different kinds of relationships are being described here, and the scripture is saying that there's wisdom which is being offered to us for our relationships, for each and every relationship, because in life we have there are many different types of relationships that we have, many different ways in which, as people in a community, we relate to one another, those that we don't, those that we know, and those that we meet for the first time. And here's in verse 2, for example, let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips, which is to say that self-praise, self-adulation is to be far away from oneself. It's for a stranger. It's to tell us not to consider ourselves to be higher than we ought, and before the Father, before the Lord Jesus Christ, to think of in what John the Baptist would say, that I must decrease and he must increase. Where self-praise is away from us, to remember the praise that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to desire his exaltation, and our desire as Christians is that he would be praised, that he would be honoured. In verse 6, a friend and an enemy, a relationship there. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. In verse 8, there's a proverb there about a man and his relationship to his home. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Another proverb there about friendship. Oil and perfume make the heart glad, and the sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. And these proverbs are a help for friendships, and for thinking of friendships, and what is possible also in friendships. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. The sweetness of a friend comes from his earnest counsel. Verse 10 also speaks of friendship. Do not forsake your friend and your father's friend. That's good advice too. Not to forget, whether it be your own friends or the friends of your family as well. Verse 11, the father and son relationship. Be wise, my son, and make my heart glad that I may answer him who reproaches me. Verse 12, a neighbour. I noted verse 12, it's the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Maybe there's another one there. On verse 10 it is, the relationship with a neighbour. Better is a neighbour who is near than a brother who is far away. And the scriptures tell us of situations and where brothers are at enmity with one another. Better is a neighbour who is near than a brother who is far away. Verse 16 or 15, a continual dripping on a rainy day, speaking of a relationship between a husband and wife. Continual dripping on a rainy day and a quarrelsome wife are alike. And then into verse 16 to further this description. To restrain her is to restrain the wind or to grasp oil in one's right hand. It's telling of a lost condition that is being shown by a quarrelsomeness, and that the proverb is giving advice to the husband that this is not something that you're going to be able to address. It's the word, it's God, it's in Christ that these character changes are found and developed for good. Well, verse 17, men, iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. Verse 19, self, how one relates, how you understand yourself. As in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects the man. The heart, which tells what is inside, which is telling of the man, and so inspection within tells of the condition of the man and the need of the man and the need therefore of God and Christ. Also in verse 20, Sheol and Abaddon are never satisfied, and never satisfied are the eyes of man. Verse 22, when the father's passing on wisdom to the son, we've been brought with this matter again and again in the Proverbs about the fool. And look at what it says here. Crush a fool in a mortar with a pestle, along with crushed grain, yet his folly will not depart from him. Well, the wisdom is provided then in relationships and for relationships. And one of the features then that comes out of the Proverbs here, and that it speaks of relationships and so many different relationships that are a part of our lives, even as we've gone through the types, maybe able to think of how we also have many different kinds of relationships in society. But one feature of this that does arise is the closeness here. When the father is speaking to his son, and he's speaking to him of wise living, he's speaking to him of how you're in this life that will have, are going to be involved with a large number of different people and in different relationships as well. There's going to be all kinds of relationships and settings, different demands that are needed in your life. The father's passing on this wisdom to the son. And by virtue of the fact of there being all these different relationships that we have, it's telling us that there is a closeness that we are designed for, and that we are then meant to be close. We are meant to be gathering. We are meant to be among people. We are made for this. We are made to be part of a community. Yes, we are individuals, but also as individuals, we are meant to be together, meant to be part of a community, meant to be part of the church. And there's a saying, even in terms of the wisdom, common wisdom, saying that it takes thinking of a child, it takes two parents to bring a child into the world, but it takes a community to raise them. That it's not something that can be brought down to one or two people, and that's true for as that is true as we think of children being younger, but also we ourselves as well, having been raised into the world. Now, there's no doubt that the tendency in our culture is to tend towards the individual rather than the community, the individual to self particularly. The tendency to draw to self rather than the community, and we also want to appreciate that yes, there is self and there is the individual. There's also the community, and the Bible, in this wise at living that it's teaching us, is teaching us to have a grasp of both, and to aim not only that we would, as the Bible teaches us, ways in which we are to change and to serve God personally and individually, to do so together as well. Indeed, as Paul speaks to the church, and he says that together you're to consider the breadth, length, height and depth of Christ's love. He says it's you together are to do that, and he says you together are to do that because we're not able to do this ourselves. We're not able to do this individually. We have to do it together. We help one another to discover the riches of God's love for us in Jesus Christ. I'd wonder if this may be helpful, that when there is this tendency and it's been in our culture for a long, long time now. It's been in our culture for a long time now. Tendency to self and to the individual, and I need nothing outside of myself and won't seek anything outside of myself. And this is it seems that this can be a desire or even a goal. If we were to take it to the end of the scale, to the end of the spectrum, and think of isolation, we have in a large scale way in our society, and we are beginning and will see more of what the troubles of isolation. Also, when think of if there was, it was wonderful being isolated. Remember that in our prison service, the worst form of punishment is isolation. That's the bottom of punishment, is when one is left to their own and can have no contact with anybody. And it eats the person up. It's unbearable, actually, to be alone. And so then this is what happens then when confidence is placed in self. Confidence is misplaced in self. And the Bible, which is telling us about the self, and says to us in Colossians chapter 3, make sure you put off the old self. You have this self, which, as is described in the Proverbs, this self where the eyes of man are never satisfied. This self has to be put off, and the old self is put on. And this is an outcome of the gospel. This is an outcome of God's salvation. This is what we are to do, to ensure that we put off the old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. 1 John chapter 2, another example of this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and listen to what he says about the world here. All that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life. This goes no further than self. This is the individual that is being described here. And he says all that is in the world is in self. And it's not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does the will of God abides forever. Put off the old self, put off the old self, put on the new self in Christ. Another way of describing this is, and I think a valuable one in our climate today, when Paul in Lystra, and he goes there to Lystra, he's with Barnabas, and he's treated like a god because they think he's a god. They think he's one of the Greek gods. And he says to them, they're praising them, reading the Proverbs, a man is tested by his praise as to what is within. Is it pride within? Or is it humility within? A man is tested by his praise. And here are these men being praised. And what did they say? They said, turn away from these vain things to a living God. Turn away from these vain things to a living God. I find this to be a daily need. It's a daily need because the draw towards these vain things is every day. Daily we are to turn from what is passing away to a living God. And the threat that, friends, the draw is very powerful to the things that are passing away. The draw is very powerful to the things that are passing away. I give an example of a powerful one powerful medium is the news. Very powerful. And the news makes certain things that are taking place in the world to be the most important things of all. And would have us be dominated so that we would think whatever is in the news is the most important thing. But if we think that what the news is saying is the most important thing, then we are making what is passing away to be the most important thing in our lives. If, however, we do what Paul said to the people there that they need to do, and as I need to do, and we need to do, is to turn away from these vain things to a living God. What are the results of doing this? Turning away from these vain things to the living God. It doesn't mean not knowing the news, but it doesn't mean not watching the news. It does mean that we understand and we are firm in our beliefs that what the news is saying to us is the most important thing of all is not the most important thing of all. Because what is most important is God, the living God. And we are to remember that. And as we turn away from the making what is passing away into the most important thing, one, what are the results? One, we gain a better perspective of what those things are. And two, we're more able to help. We're also more able to help in these situations of need and dire need. I offer an example where the Bible shows us of one who, because he had turned away from the vain things, the passing things, making them number one and turning to God, he was better able and better equipped to act in the time when all seemed to be and all was crumbling around before him. And the example that I offer, not the only example, but the one example I offer, is Paul in Philippi, when the jail collapsed around him. That must have been terrifying. What is happening here? This jail, which is built with these large stones and is housing the convicted criminals, convicted of all kinds of terrible things, no doubt, and capable of all different terrible things. And it was terrifying, and the jailer was terrified. His life in moments as these stones collapsed. His life collapsed. And he is about to take his own life. He doesn't see any other possibility for him. This is his end right here. All these this large building that has crumbled to the ground. But here's a man, Paul, who has turned away from these vain things to a living God. And in this situation where the building has turned into rubble, these stones being vain things that are passing away, there is, amidst it all, a man, Paul, who is as a rock in this situation. It's startling at what God, through him, accomplishes in this situation. And all the prisoners are there. He speaks to the jailer. He helps a man not only to live for another day, but leads him to eternal life on that day. It's a startling example of this, of an outcome of a man in the situation who's turned, he's given himself to turn to the living God and away from the things that are passing away. And so here in the situation, he is able to help those who are in need and in a way that otherwise would not be possible. The story there is a real life example of what Jesus said about the wise man who built his house on the rock. And now, perhaps it can seem that, well, that's a long time ago and someone else. But what the Bible says to us is that everything that we possess we will lose. And it might be as dramatic as that, but it might not be. But we see what it says in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." And what the Bible was saying to us is that if our hearts are set on the things that are passing, then our hearts are set on that that we cannot keep and will not have. For we will lose everything in time. All that we have. It's something to think about when, as I was walking past a car park the other day, and the thought dawned on me that all these possessions are one day going to vanish from the earth. It's only passing. For we leave the world with no more than what we came into it with. But if we turn from these vain things that are passing away to a living God, then outwardly, though we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And if we are and have turned to the living God, if every other thing is taken away, as it shall be, it is little, because we have God, and we have Christ, and we have peace, and hope, and love in God and Christ, and forgiveness, and eternal life. The passage here has memorable proverbs that are also mentioned in other parts. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Verse 14 maybe brings a smile to the face. Whoever blesses his neighbour with a loud voice, rising early in the morning. It doesn't go down well always, does it? It'll be counted as cursing. Verse 19, as in water, face reflects face, so the heart of man reflects man. Know well the condition of your flocks, and give attention to your herds, for riches do not last forever, and does the crown endure to all generations? This is one among others that tells of the provision of God, and the proverbs here that end especially have pictures of life that draw from what God has given for good, whether it be flocks, herds, vegetation. Then verse 26 speaks of the lambs who will provide your clothing, and the goats the price of a field. And it's to the lamb, isn't it, that we are to seek our clothing from the lamb. And how God provides the lamb, and the provision that we have for us from the Lamb of God. We'll be singing later on from Psalm number 23, "The Lord, who is my shepherd, and who provides for me daily, and who provides for me eternally as well." And he provides the clothing. I was listening to a sermon from Joel Beakey at the weekend there, and Joel Beakey was preaching a sermon from Genesis, and the story there of Adam and Eve, and how Adam and Eve after the fall and the fig leaves that they made for themselves to cover their nakedness. But then after God came to them, he provided for them the clothes from the animal and the sacrifice there that was involved in the clothing that came from God. And Bickie in his sermon was speaking of how this picture is as far as this story from the Garden of Eden is true in all kinds of aspects of life, that we would clothe ourselves, we would provide for ourselves, we would be saved in our own way. But what God is saying to us is, you cannot be saved that way. You need my provision. You need the clothing that I give to you. And so the clothing that comes to us from God, from Christ, the clothing of his perfect righteousness that is granted to us through the cross, through his taking our sin and his laying down his life for us. The Lamb who was slain before the foundation of the earth. And as we consider the Lamb who was slain from before the foundation of the earth, and as we are drawn to love him, we also discover too that we ourselves have been loved since before the foundation of the earth. Let us pray.